ever. I hate the same, I'm proud and gold in turn.
It's good to have everybody that's here in person. Glad to have you with us there online. Thank you for being on our social media platforms, whether that's Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Heart, like, share, follow us, subscribe, do all those things, retweet us. That just helps to get the word out to so many others so they can join us in our worship service too. And also want to say welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming service. If you do have access at home to our church website, I want to encourage you to go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin. bulletin for today, so be sure to get that downloaded. Under that info tab is also the children's worship bulletins. If you need either one of these, they're in the windowsills to my right and left. The bulletins are back at that door as well as out in the hallway at this door. The children's worship bulletins are over here to my right, so be sure to download those. And then also under that info tab is the prayer list. Be sure to get that downloaded to be praying through all of our prayer requests that we have listed on the list there. A little while later, we're going to be dismissing for Children's Church. So if you're a guest here with us this morning and you want to send your children to Children's Church, if you'll just bring them over to this side, outside the hallway, here's a place for you to sign in for Children's Church with your kids, and then you'll sign them out as you pick them up back in the back of the building. And they'll show you where that will be, where the pickup will be. If you're a guest this morning, we want to especially encourage you to pick up one of the gift bags that are on either sides of the stage. There's some on the table out in the foyer there, as well as on the table in the hallway here. If you brought a guest with you, make sure that they pick one up. It's got some information about our church in it. It's got some gifts that we want to give to you to say welcome, to say thank you for being here with us. So be sure you get one of those. And we're looking forward to a wonderful worship service this morning. So Brother Bradley, if you'll come and lead us.
Turn your hymnals to 483, Footsteps of Jesus. Sing all the verses.
Amen. You'll notice in your bulletins this morning, our missionary moment of the week is for Dan and Lori Upchurch, who are serving in Poland, ministering to Ukrainian refugees there. And so we want to encourage you to read their story there, to pray that these missionaries would be empowered to use the cultural traditions to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We also want to encourage you to be praying for these blankets that we have over here to my left, our children. children in Awana put these together over the last several weeks. These are going to Isaiah House to go to kids. And so we want to encourage you to pray for these blankets, that as they go, it won't be just a blanket that they're receiving. They're receiving the good news of the gospel message with that. So we want to encourage you to pray for that. But we also want to encourage you to still continue to pray for the disaster relief efforts that are going on in East Tennessee, in Western North Carolina, still in Georgia, even in Florida, still lots of work. The rebuilding work is engaging now, and so we want to encourage you to be praying for that. Miss Linda just came back from over in North Carolina with our Duck River Baptist Association team and had a wonderful opportunity there to serve and to minister to people as God opened doors there. But we want to ask you to prayerfully watch this video this morning from some people that we were able to minister to through our disaster relief from Tennessee.
When we walked out the door to go pick our kids up, the water was already to the road. We had, 15-20 minutes to get out of here.
It's one of those things where we thought it would never happen. We pretty much lost the whole house. I mean, we're going to have to start from scratch.
There's no worse feeling than thinking that you're going to die and your kids are going to be left here alone with nobody to take care of them, or you know, if they're safe or not, because we were separated from our children. I just couldn't imagine them. You know, where's my mom and dad?
The Tennessee Disaster Relief came in to help and assist the homeowners in any way possible with cleaning out their houses from the water-damaged insulation, drywall, flooring, getting the bare bones of the house structure back open again so that it can dry out and then the homeowners can begin to rebuild and resettle their lives.
We could not afford to do this. We couldn't even do it fast enough. I mean, we already had mold in our house when you guys got here, and I can't believe you guys got it up so fast. And that saved us so much money.
They helped tear out flooring. They helped with the ductwork. I mean, so we wouldn't be where we're at right now without your own help.
Our disaster relief teams, they walk into a house that needs physical relief. They know there's a spiritual story there as well. There's a family, there's an individual, there's a couple that lived in that house, that's their home. They've lost everything. And they're asking deep questions. And our disaster relief team is there to do a job, but their first and most important job is to share the hope of Christ. And they're doing it.
The Tennessee Baptist means so much to me, to our family. I could never repay anybody that has helped us like this. It's so overwhelming, and I just don't even know what to say or do anymore other than to say thank you. We are truly blessed to have so many people help us.
Towards that still. You can do that through our Duck River Baptist Association. You can do that by scanning this QR code that'll take you to the Tennessee Baptist Disaster Relief website, where you can give directly to those needs in East Tennessee. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for all of these. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings, that as you have blessed us, that we can be a blessing to others. Lord, whether that's through our missionaries, the UP churches who are serving in Poland, ministering to Ukrainian refugees, or whether that's to give as we've been giving to support the disaster relief efforts that are ongoing in East Tennessee as well as in Western North Carolina. Father, we just pray that you will continue to bless us, that we can be a blessing to others. And thank you so much, Lord, for the kids who have given of their time and their talent, as well as those who gave of their resources to help with these blankets that'll be going to children who are in need in those crisis situations. Father, we just pray that as they receive those blankets, may they receive it as a gift of love. May they hear the good news of the gospel message in receiving those too. And Father, we just pray your blessings upon them. Lord, continue to be with those families who are still going to be having ongoing long-term rebuilding issues throughout the Eastern North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee and Western North Carolina, especially as winter comes on. And so Father, I pray that we will seek in our hearts to seek what you would have us each maybe to give give towards that and to give to supporting that particular ministry also. So thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given us. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to have your hands upon us for this service this morning. We want to give everything we have and everything we are to you. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, let me just remind you that if you are there on our church website, you can do your online giving. Go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can give your regular offering there. You can give to the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions. We don't have a designation there for disaster relief. That's why we've given you that QR code, and that will be also on our Facebook group page for you to see later. You can just search for the tnbaptist.org website and then click on the disaster relief link there, and you'll see the link to give there easily also. If you're giving in person this morning, the white envelopes are your regular offering, the pink ones are your golden offering for Tennessee Missions. Also, just want to remind you of the upcoming things. Thursday is our trunk or treat event. We've got that coming up on Thursday. If you still have not signed up to help us, we've got a sign up sheet out here that you can help with food, you can help with parking, you can help with security, you can help with the hot chocolate, you can set up a car and give out candy out of the back of your car. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to share the gospel with people that we might not otherwise have that opportunity, as they probably wouldn't come to church on any given particular Sunday. So it gives us an opportunity to meet them, to befriend them, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. So we want to encourage you to come. Maybe it's just bringing some candy. We need more candy. There's a box on the table out here outside in the hallway. So be sure to do that. We have sent out a lot of cards to people to encourage them to come. If you don't have decorations to decorate a vehicle, don't worry about that. We've got lots of decorations here. Just sign up on the sheet out there and let us know that you don't have a sign-up thing there. And let me just remind you this. I forgot to tell Ben for the end of the service, but just a reminder, we will not have evening service tonight. Our Duck River Baptist Association meeting is this afternoon and tonight down at First Baptist Cowan. Encourage you to come, especially if you can, for the afternoon session that begins at 4 o'clock. You don't have to be a messenger to come for that. You can come and just be there for the worship that we're going to experience. Dr. Jeff Yorg, who is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, is going to be there speaking, and you'll receive a wonderful blessing from hearing from him. But that's First Baptist Cowan. So no evening service tonight here in person. So just wanted to remind you of that. Brother Brad?
Next hymn is 502, Open My Eyes That I May See. children can now come down for children's church. And the next song we sing is 136, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. I've entitled this message this morning, Watch Your Mouth. You ever heard that before? Heard your parents maybe tell you that, your mama tell you that, watch your mouth. I've had my mom tell me that. Some other things came along with that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and verse 30. Let's stand as we read God's word in honor of his word. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. So often, Lord, we don't watch our words. We're not careful about our words. Many times we speak before we even think. And Lord, we know that words that are said cannot be returned again. Lord, we cannot bring them back and undo the damage that they cause. So help us, Lord, to be slow to speak. Help us, Lord, to be careful about the words that we say. Lord, I pray even more than just that, that we would make sure that in the depths of our heart, We are in a firm relationship with you that the Holy Spirit is renewing us from the inside out, because it's out of the heart that the things come out of our mouth. So clean our heart as well as our mouth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, there's a weapon that is more powerful than any other weapon known to man. And it's been in existence since the creation of mankind. It's been known to start wars. It's been known to ruin friendships, to start national revolutions. It's killed more relationships, ruined more reputations, wrecked more homes, split more churches, driven more men out of the ministry, and caused more hatred than any other weapon in the world. And contrary to popular opinion, the most powerful weapon in the world is not the atomic bomb. It's not some laser beam aimed from outer space. It's not even a weapon that's made by man. It's concealed like a sniper, quick as a bullet, deadly as a gun, and it's known as the tongue, the mouth. James says it this way in James chapter 3 and verse 5. He said, "So also the tongue is a small member." It's a small member of the body, "yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." I mentioned this before when we talked about lying. Have you ever had your mouth washed out with soap? I remember one time as a child that my mom actually washed my mouth out with soap for saying something I shouldn't have said. I don't even remember today what it was that I said. But it was bad enough to get my mouth washed out with soap for saying something that I shouldn't have said. She did it because she believed what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 11, that it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. And by saying whatever it was that I had said, I made myself dirty by saying those bad things. And my mother had a hot white zeal for purity. So she used an unforgettable object lesson, and I think she did right. I probably deserve to have my mouth washed out more with soap than I did. Probably deserve more spankings than I got. Someone might say, "But really? What's the big deal with saying something bad? It's just words. Everybody says bad words. It's not like you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. So why get so worked up? What's really so bad about it?" The answer is that whatever I said was not good, it was not godly, it was mean, there was no affection, no goodwill, no kindness in it, it was ugly. There was no moral beauty, no holiness, no love. And to use Paul's phrase in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 here, he says it is corrupting talk. Some versions translate that to be a rotten word. Came from a garbage full of pride and anger and resentment. It was sinful. So beware lest we grow accustomed to sin that it becomes so normal. That soap in my mouth, it could not reach my heart though. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 and verse 22 through verse 24, he says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I needed to put off that old, assertive, mean, uncaring self, that ungodly self, because it was corrupt with deceitful desires when I said whatever it was I said. What I needed to put on was a new, meek, and kind self created by God in His own likeness, in righteousness and holiness. In other words, I needed to be deeply renewed in the spirit of my mind. Because here's what we need to learn. If you don't learn anything else from this morning, learn this truth. that in the end, the battle for purity in your mouth is fought in the heart. The battle for purity in your mouth is fought in the heart. Because as we read a while ago from the scripture, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you don't like what comes out of your mouth, listen carefully to what we're going to see here in Ephesians 4, 29 and 30, because Paul, the Apostle Paul, is going to take great pains here in this text to show us how to clean up our mouth from the inside out. So notice these truths as Paul tells us to watch our mouth. I want you to see the rotten, evil, unwholesome, corrupt words that come out of our mouths. Now remember in the context here, Paul is not writing this to the lost, Gentile, unbelieving, lost world out there. He's writing this to the Gentile Christians at the church at Ephesus. He is writing it today to us as believers in the church because there was an issue in the church at Ephesus with those who professed with their lips to be believers on one hand, and yet were speaking corrupting talk, filthy words, rotten words, evil words, unwholesome words out of the other side of their mouth. Now, verse 29 there again says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths." And I said a moment ago that Paul used that word, that phrase, rotten word. The RSV translates it, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths." The NIV and the New American Standard use the word unwholesome. The King James Version and the ESV Version say, "Let no corrupt communication or talk proceed out of your mouth." The New Living Translation says it this way, "Don't use foul or abusive language." What is the idea behind those words, evil, unwholesome, corrupt, foul, abusive language? Well, the Greek word here that Paul is using is the word sapros. It's used in only one other context in the New Testament where Jesus says this in Luke 6 and verse 43. He says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit." That word bad that he uses in Luke 6, 43 is the same word that Paul uses here in Ephesians 4, 29 to give us the word unwholesome or evil or corrupt. The image in Paul's mind is probably one of rottenness and decay, something that's spoiled. Think of this kind of rotten language that needs to be taken off. He's giving us the example like an old garment that's stinky, that's sweaty, that you've been wearing. I mean, think about that. If you wore these clothes that you came to church in the rest of the month, they would start stinking probably after a few days. They would be rotten by the end of the month. You couldn't stand it, and people couldn't stand to be around you because of the smell. And so it's like that. It's like an old garment that is rotten and decaying that needs to be taken off. It's part of the old self of verse 22 back in Ephesians 4 that needs to be stripped away when a person becomes a Christian. You see, the garment of a rotten mouth needs to be taken off. It needs to be thrown into the fire, just like the Ephesians had burned their old books of magic in Acts chapter 19 and verse 19. So what sort of talk does Paul have in mind when he says, "Let no corrupt or rotten talk come out of your mouths"? Well, let me suggest at least four kinds of language that I think that Paul is including as rotten, decayed, spoiled. One of those, and I think one of the first and foremost, is taking the name of the Lord in vain. Taking the name of the Lord in vain. It's a great contradiction for us who are Christians if we say, "God, oh my God, God Almighty." There's a way you can say that. You can say, "God, oh my God, you're Almighty God." But if you say that, "God, Almighty God," That's a different way of saying the same words. Just because we're mad or we're surprised or we're amazed. And that's why Paul is getting at the heart of this issue, that it's really in the heart. Because words are just words. They are part of our vernacular. And they can be used in a positive way. They can be used in a negative way. No one with a good marriage would take their wedding ring off and throw it down and stomp on that wedding ring as an expression of anger. It stands for something. That wedding ring that you have on is precious. It is pure. It reminds you of the commitment you have to your husband or to your wife. And so does the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ. We ought never to take the name of God or the name of Jesus Christ and to throw it down and to stomp on it by the things we say. So in and of themselves, those words can be fine in the heart if the heart is in the right way, says them. But it's wrong if they come from the wrong place in the heart, that is not honoring and building up the name of God. When we even use that OMG, what are we saying? Some people might be saying, oh my goodness, but a lot of people are saying, oh my God. And that's not saying in a positive way, oh, my God. That's one of the things I think Paul is meaning, using the name of the Lord in vain. I think another thing that he's meaning here is trivializing terrible realities. I mean, think about it. It's like using the word hell or the word damnation or holiness. What's wrong with saying what the H word? Or to say the H word, no. Or to say, go to H. You know what I'm talking about here. Or to say, holy cow, holy mackerel. Among other things, those words and saying it in that way trivializes things of terrible consequence and seriousness. Is simply a contradiction to believe in the horrible reality of hell and to use the word like a punctuation mark for emphasis when we're talking about sports or we're talking about politics or even talking about religion. Same is true of damnation. And if the divine command that says to us, be holy as I am holy, carries for you the same weight that it carried for Moses, that it carried for Jesus, that it carried for the apostles, you'd simply find that saying something like even holy cow or holy anything, it ought to stick in your throat because it treats something infinitely precious as something trivial. I think that's a part of what he's talking about. I think another thing he's talking about when he's referring to this filthy talk, when he's talking about corrupt communication, is referencing sex and the body in vulgar ways. It's a third kind of language here I think Paul is talking about. With this kind of language, people take good things that God has made and they use them like mud to smear on whatever they get upset about. The whole assumption behind the use of vulgar, and it always seems like it, isn't it, that they're four-letter words? That's what we call them. Don't say those four-letter words. They always seem to be four-letter words. But the whole assumption behind the use of vulgar four-letter words is that they communicate ridicule and disdain and hate. How does that happen? How do we, for example, take the act of sexual relations created by God as good to be fulfilled in marriage? How does it get translated into a four-letter word that carries with it the meaning of hate and scorn? The answer is easiest because you've gotten God out of your heart and out of your mind. That's fundamental of all vulgarity. And then you get the sanctity of His creation out of your mind when you get God out of your mind. And then in your mind, you replace the tenderness of married love with the force of rape, and you've got yourself a four-letter word that does verbally the same thing that rape does physically. It expresses selfish, uncaring abusiveness. Paul's saying that ought not to be of any Christian who is in a right relationship with God. If you are saying those kinds of words, either one, you don't have a relationship with God, and you may think you do, or you do have a relationship with God, but you're out of fellowship with the Lord, and you need to get back into fellowship with Him. Because the fourth thing I think that Paul is speaking about here in this filthy communication is speaking in mean-spirited ways. Because another kind of language here that Paul would call rotten is mean-spirited language like, shut up. I don't know how many times I've been in a department store, been at Walmart, been out in the community, and you hear a parent say to their kids, shut up, shut up. They're not saying it, really. I mean, they're saying it out of anger. Shut up. The usage of a word like that or a phrase like that is vicious and loveless, or I hate you. I hate you. Which Jesus says is the same as thinking about or expressing the act of killing someone. If you say it or if you think it in your heart, it's the same as if you did it with your hands. I think that's all of the things, and maybe even more, but those are some of the primary things that Paul is talking about in filthy communication. Secondly, I want you to see the implications of that kind of language. Notice again verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. You know, there are four kinds of language we just talked about there, included in the rotten talk. But I want to step back and ask what Paul might mean by calling language evil or corrupt or unwholesome or rotten. If we think of spoiled or rotten fruit like Jesus did, four things come to mind. If you were to take a piece of rotten fruit, you were to take an apple, and then you got it at the grocery store, or you got it at the orchard. It was fresh. It was so sweet. It was nice. But you let it sit around long enough. You let those bananas sit around long enough, and they're going to spoil. And they're going to start smelling, and flies are going to start gathering on them as it gets smellier. And you think about that. Would you eat something like that? Would you eat a piece of rotten fruit? If you were to pick up a tomato and it's got a rotten piece on it, rotten tomatoes, they stink. You get that stuff on your hands, it's hard to get that smell off. You take that rotten tomato in your hand, would you take a bite of that? You'd puke right there on the spot if you did. Because there are four things that come to mind here. Rotten fruit doesn't nourish. Rotten fruit doesn't nourish. Neither does rotten language. Rotten language doesn't strengthen or improve or help. It's not useful for food. It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Rotten fruit doesn't nourish. Neither does rotten language. Another thing we see that comes to mind thinking about rotten fruit or spoiled fruit is if you ate it, it would probably make you sick. Rotten fruit makes you sick, and rotten language can make people sick too. You know, we have that old saying that we've always said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But they certainly will. They can destroy you. It can make you sick. Language can make people sick too. In other words, it not only fails to give positive nourishment, it can cause negative harm. Words can wound a person very deeply. Words can be like a virus that transmits the disease of meanness or vulgarity from parent to child, or roommate to roommate, or coworker to coworker, or husband to wife, or wife to husband. Rotten language makes people sick if they're forced to eat it. Thirdly, a thing we see about rotten fruit and about rotten words is it smells bad. I told you before, if you had that rotten tomato and you get that juice on your hands, it's hard to get it off. I mean, even after you've washed your hands, you still have that scent that you smell. And it makes that rotten fruit makes things smell bad, and it makes the atmosphere unpleasant. You go home and you start smelling something that doesn't smell right in the house. One of the things you ought to check is your vegetables, your fruit. Rotten food smells bad. It carries with it. So understand this. Vulgarity, rotten words carry with it the aroma of rotten fruit. Vulgarity is like getting down in the gutter. It makes things unpleasant for everybody around you. It's hard to taste beauty from a garbage dump. And that's what's coming out of your mouth is a garbage dump when you use vulgarity. I mean, can you be in the middle of a sinful situation that you're speaking sinful words and look through the window and be moved by the beauty of a setting sun? No, it affects the whole atmosphere. It makes everything around you unpleasant. It smells bad. And then fourthly, it probably comes from a diseased or even a dead tree. Notice that rotten fruit and rotten language comes from a diseased tree. I have a couple of apples that are still hanging on the apple tree. They're rotten. No way I'd eat them. Spots all over them, worms that are in them, bugs that are eating in them. I wouldn't pull one of those apples off and eat it. It's coming from a diseased tree. If the fruit is rotten, as soon as it appears on the branch, as soon as the words come out of your mouth, then the tree is bad because the roots are bad. Here's what Jesus said over in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and verse 37, when he was speaking to the Pharisees. He said, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." He says the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word. Not just your actions, but every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So if a person takes the name of God in vain, or if a person trivializes the realities of hell or holiness, or turns sexuality into vulgarity, or makes words into weapons of one-upmanship and meanness, they can be for sure there is a rottenness inside the tree as well as outside. If the fruit is bad, the root is bad. So thirdly, Paul goes on to say, what we need is a whole new way of thinking about language. Look again at verse 29. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." So if we see this about the fruit and the root, then we won't be surprised what comes next that Paul is talking about here. We might expect Paul to warn us, clean up your language. Wash out your mouth with soap. We might expect him to talk about words that aren't vulgar or corrupt or rotten, or and to say those kinds of words, those pure words, wholesome, creative, clear. But Paul doesn't do what we expect. So instead of proposing clean language, he proposes a whole new way of thinking about language. Instead of saying, "You don't need dirty language to communicate your intention," he says the root issue is whether your intention was love in the first place. So when you speak to your children as a parent. When you speak to your husband or you speak to your wife and you're saying things, are you speaking it out of love? The issue isn't whether our mouth can avoid gross language. The issue is whether our mouth is a means of grace. You see, he shifts here from the external fruit to the internal fruit. He shifts from what we say to why we say it. That's the real issue of verse 29. He's literally asking for us to ask, is what I am speaking good for edifying, the edifying of a need? You see the shift here? He doesn't say, let no rotten talk come out of your mouth, but instead let fresh, clean talk come out of your mouth. He says, let no rotten talk come out of your mouth, but ask this, is my mouth a means of grace? Am I meeting a need with the words that are coming out of my mouth? Am I building up faith into people who hear it? Because that leads us to what he talks about next, the far-reaching, all-encompassing Christian faith. It's revolutionary to think about your mouth in this way. Just like verse 28 was a revolutionary way of thinking about your stealing and about your work. Do you see the parallel? Back in verse 28, Paul said, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. And then he shifts from the what to the why, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. He's getting at the heart of why. In other words, it's not Christian just to stop stealing. It's not Christian just to work honestly in order to have things. It's Christian to work to have in order to give, in order to meet needs. All of our work is to be a display of God's grace. And that's exactly what Paul does here in verse 29. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good. And then he shifts from the what to the why. Why? For building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. It's not Christian just to stop swearing. It's not Christian just to put good language in instead. It's Christian to ask the deeper internal question, am I speaking now to edify, to build up? Is my mouth a means of grace? All of our secular work is to be a display of God's grace. And all of our speech is to be a display of God's grace. I think that's one of the reasons that the Bible tells us to be slow to speak. We're quick to speak. We're quick to shout off something. And then we're like, oh, wait a second. Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. Or maybe I shouldn't have even said that at all. You see, these are amazing verses about the grace of God in our lives. A Christian is a person whose rotten root within has been made new by grace through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The grace of God has taken hate and taken anger and resentment that spill over in mean and vulgar and irreverent language and has covered them with the blood of Jesus Christ in your life and killed them along with the old unbelief. Believing self. And if that has not happened in your life, then something is wrong in your relationship with God. As we said earlier, either you don't have it, or if you do, you're out of fellowship with Him, and that's why ungodliness is coming out of your mouth. And it gets to the whole bigger picture here of what he talks about in verse 30. Because he says in verse 30 that you are sealed for the day of redemption. As a believer, you are sealed for the day of redemption. Notice verse 30 again. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when filthy communication comes out of your mouth, you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And so he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, to whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So you know what the grace of God has left behind in place of the old hate and the anger and the resentment? It has left hope. That's the meaning of verse 30. What does this mean? It means that a Christian is a person in whom the Holy Spirit of God dwells. Paul started off this whole book to talk about you, and we had a hard time believing it when we began the book of Ephesians, and he called you as believers saints. Saints. But if you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you, you are a saint. You may not think you are, you may not act like you are, but this Holy Spirit is working within you to make you more complete, more mature, lacking nothing, more to look like Jesus and less like yourself. The Holy Spirit of God puts the stamp of His own image on the life of a believer and guarantees that that believer will persevere until the day of redemption. The seal of the Spirit is the assurance of a secured hope. You see, the hope of all believers, guaranteed by the seal of the Spirit, is that in the end of history, one day we will come to the day of redemption instead of a day of final judgment in hell forever. What then is this day of redemption? It's the day when the long battle with sin will finally be over. It's the day when the deepest longings of our heart will be satisfied with the sight of the glory and the grace of God in the face of Jesus. No more groaning with imperfection. No more waiting. No more frustrated longings. Our redemption will be complete. So what's the point of Ephesians 4:30 in relation to rotten language and gracious language? The point is this. Paul says that the Spirit has been given to seal us and to secure us for that wonderful future forever. In other words, God's Spirit is sealing work aims to give you hope. So how do you grieve this Spirit? By not hoping in the day of redemption. By not hoping in the power of the Spirit to secure you and to help keep you. If the Holy Spirit has been sent to give you hope in God, and instead of hoping in God, you fret over your problems, you become angry, you become bitter, you become resentful, then you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You strive against the very purpose for which He was sent. And the language that comes out of your heart that doesn't hope in God won't give grace to those who hear it. So how can you make your mouth a means of grace for others when you're not even hoping in the grace of God yourself? You're not in the right relationship with God Himself. It's out of hopeless hearts of discouragement and frustration and anger and bitterness and resentment that all the rotten and hurtful language comes. But if you as a believer stop and think for a moment that Christ died for your sin, that God has promised to work all things together for good, that He has given you His own Holy Spirit for the specific purpose of sealing you for the day of redemption, then surely, as a believer, surely a deep, confident hope will be the root of your life. And it's out of that root, it's up through that root that will flow the sap of grace into your life. It's out into the branches of your life that will come the fruit of a whole new way, not of just acting, but also of talking. The question of your mouth will not just be the moral question that asks, am I dodging dirty words? The Christian question is, am I building the faith of others by what I say? Is my mouth a means of grace? Am I frightened and anxious and angry about my life, or am I filled and overflowing with hope that the Spirit of God will keep me safe for the day of redemption? Paul tells us here, watch your mouth. And what he ultimately means there is watch your heart. Look at your heart this morning. Where are you this morning? Been saying some filthy, rotten, stinky words out of your mouth? Maybe you said some things this past week and you're thinking back, wow, my feet are hurting right now. He's been stepping on my feet this morning. Now the Holy Spirit has. You need to come to the same place that a lost person needs to come, to the place of repentance, the place of brokenness, the place of humbleness that says, God, forgive me for my words. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a gracious heart, so that out of that grace in my heart may flow rivers of love and grace through my language, through my speaking to people. Think about that the next time you're angry with your kids. Now, one of the things that our kids hated the most was to talk to Dad. Spanking, that worked for one. Time out worked for another. But all three of them, Dad, just give the punishment to us. Don't sit there and talk to us. Because I wanted to get to the root of the issue. Not say, shut up. Don't do this. You're sorry. You're no good. Why do you always mess up? Wanted to get at the root in an encouraging, edifying way of building them up. Let me encourage you to do that in your heart and your life. And you can't do that without the Holy Spirit in your heart. You can't do that if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Because you need Jesus to watch your mouth. So if you need Jesus, I want to invite you to come in this time of invitation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I dare to say there's not a single one of us who are here this morning that we've not said some things throughout our life that we so regretfully wish we had never, ever said. We've hurt somebody with our words. We have hurt you with our words. We've used your name in vain. We have spoken of things that are holy and things that are serious in a demeaning way by using them derogatorily. We've taken your creation of the human body and speak of those things in a vulgar way. We say those four-letter words, or even other words that are not four. Father, we need more than just a washing out of our mouth. We need a cleansing of our heart. So I pray this morning, Lord. I pray especially for every believer who is here this morning. I believe this was Paul's heart when he's sharing this with the Ephesians. He's not just getting on to them. He's speaking to them like a loving friend, even like a loving father towards them, saying, I don't want to see you hurt. I don't want to see you hurt others with your words. I don't want to see you hurt yourself with your words, because I understand there's a deeper issue here. It's not just the words themselves, it's your heart. So I pray this morning, Lord, for every believer who is here. I know you desire for our words to be words of grace, words of mercy, words that are edifying and building up. Lord, if we can't say something, like we've always said, we can't say something nice, help us not to say anything at all. Help us to keep those things to ourselves until we can come up with some way to say those things in an encouraging, edifying way. Pray for parents this morning, Lord, who struggle to say positive things to their kids. All too often, Lord, as parents, we're focused on the negative. We're pointing out all the bad, and we never say anything good about what our kids did, or anything good about what they said. Lord, break our hearts. Lord, there are people around us who their ethnicity is different, their social status is different, They may not look like us or think like us or act like us, and we have said words that have cut to the core with no intention of using those words in any way to build them up. Lord, break our hearts. Lord, there are some who are here this morning. They've said some ugly words to their wife. They've said some mean things to their husband. They've not looked or spoken to their wife in a positive, gracious way. There are wives who have not edified their husband with words of affirmation. Lord, break our hearts. Lord, get at the root of the problem in our lives. That if we're here as believers, we've got a heart problem. Our relationship's not where it needs to be with you. So, Father, mend our hearts. Create within us a clean heart, a pure heart, a holy heart, a righteous heart that is not dependent on my works, because I can't do it in and of myself. I can't change my heart no more than I can change my words. But the power of the Holy Spirit can. So I submit myself to the renewing of my heart, of my mind, by the Word of God. Lord, immerse me in the Word of God. Help me to spend more time in your Word, that your Word would transform and change my thinking, and that the Holy Spirit will use that Word to change my heart, so that when I speak to other people, whether that's my husband, my wife, my children, my coworkers, people in the community, somebody different than me, that I might say things that communicate the grace of God. Father, for those who are here this morning, that they don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, there is absolutely no way they can watch their mouth. Their mouth will be rotten, unwholesome, rotten words coming out. So, Father, I pray that you will give them a new heart. Lord, that you will give them a desire in their heart right now to know you as their Lord and their Savior. And may you change them and transform them from the inside out as they simply come to you and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I need you. I believe Jesus died on that cross. I believe he was buried in that tomb. I believe he rose from the dead on the third day. Jesus, come into my life and my heart and save me and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Lord, I pray there would be those who would come this morning to publicly profess that faith in Christ. Lord, whatever decisions need to be made, we want to give you the glory, we want to give you the honor, and so we ask for your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation, The Savior's Waiting, number 321. We want to ask you to stand, and as the Lord leads on your heart, will you come during this invitation? Brother Bradley, come and lead us, please. To keep you apart. can be seated for just a moment. Brother Ben's going to come and